FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is April 27th, 2016. The battle for $1,250 gold is on, and here to discuss it, you know him well, of Miles Franklin, Andrew Hoffman. Andy, hey, so first, hey, welcome back. And last week, Thursday, when we did our session there in Fort Lauderdale, really went well, absent a few technical problems. I think the evening was an unqualified success.
Yes, and everyone can listen on YouTube to what is there, which is much good information over the 3 hours. And if you can't get a hold of that, then try to see us somewhere else. We'll be in Houston on May 20th. We'll be in Chicago June 24th. And we got all other places we're going to be dealing with. And, you know, I think about that morning last Thursday. That was when gold surged back above 1250, which has been the cartel's line in the sand since the $60 up day when it first breached it back on February 11th. And here we are. Today, you know, my article yesterday, it was called April 27th, meaning today, a day of central bank infamy, because first the Fed is going to speak dovishly, and then the Bank of Japan may double its stock equity QE, which is going to be the ruin of the nation, as now Japan is starting to become a communist nation, as the Bank of Japan now owns most of the companies, or a big part of most of the companies in Japan. We got all kinds of things to talk about, but here we are today, Fed speaking again. 1250 has we've been above 1250 three times today, but they don't want it to stay there. So this war is going to end soon. And again, I mean, we're talking about all the articles that I wrote this week. One of them was called Silver 2016, The Cartel's Last Stand, because right now they are so badly losing the global war against reality. And right now, there's no doubt in my mind that silver is going to be their Achilles heels. So let's just watch what happens following the Fed meeting, the Bank of Japan meeting, because all the factors in this perfect storm of supply and demand and inventories and money printing are only going to be a tailwind for us now that we are definitely in a global bull market for precious metals.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest takeaway, is that a tide has turned. You know, of course, we're going to have fluctuations. They're going to be more successful than other times at manipulating the price. But the actual fate, well, we know what's going to happen there.
Yeah. I mean, it's miraculous to that we have, you know, kudos to anyone who's survived this long. In my case, it's 14 years of ups and downs. And of course, the last 4 years where people start to talk like this will never end. It's been going on forever. Well, no, it really has only been going on for 4 years. Yes, they were manipulating all the way up from 250 up to 1920. But, you know, the actual bear market phase that the cartel has orchestrated since the point of no return when the Western banks went all into market manipulation in 2011. That is over. It is definitively ended 2 years ago, almost, in most of the world's currencies. It ended now here. So no matter what the cartel tries, including if the Fed comes out today and says who knows what, and they try to smash gold down, it's just going to come right back. The supply is too tight. The production is falling. The demand is rising. And around the world, the money printing is in the final death row stage of the Ponzi scheme, which is the biggest fiat Ponzi scheme in the history of mankind.
Yeah, that is for sure. And well, you never know how long these things are going to go on, but eventually they always end.
That's right. The problem is that right now they can't even get the perception that they've been able to maintain by supporting markets and holding gold down is falling apart. Remember, I've always called it the evil troika: market manipulation, money printing, and propaganda. The propaganda leg is done. It's over. They can no longer even pretend that there's a strong market. Heck, I'm reading articles on CNBC now. It says the Fed would be crazy to raise interest rates. Everyone knows that the economy of the world is falling apart. There's not a person on the planet. There's certainly not a voter on the planet, because that's why Donald Trump is kicking butt right now. And so that propaganda leg of the stool, dead and buried. You will never, ever see anyone actually believe, whether it's in the hedge fund community, Wall Street, or even the White House, well, aside from the White House, actually believing that there's an improving economy, because, heck, we haven't even had a, quote, recession, according to the government, in like the second longest time in all time history. And all the factors now are screaming that we're in it now. So eventually, probably now, we're going to realize that we're actually in a recession at the worst possible time, because interest rates are already at all time lows around the world. So there's nothing left to do but hyperinflate. And as for the other legs of the stool, market manipulation, well, market manipulation is dying in the gold and silver market. It's pretty much died overseas. And here it's dying in the stock market. Most of the world's markets have topped. In the bond markets, you're talking about negative interest rates now. Commodity markets, despite this oil PPT-inspired rally, we're still near the all-time lows for most commodities, or I should say the 3 or 4 decade lows. Everything is falling apart on these people. All they have left in the evil troika, the evil tripod, is money printing.
Yeah, and they're masters of it for sure. So, you know, the question is, what's going to happen next here? And it appears that it's crumbling, but what do you see occurring next?
Well, you know, I'm of course, no one has a crystal ball for the short term, but the way I look at it, if anyone hasn't seen the movie V for Vendetta, easily my favorite movie of all time, actually tied with the whole Star Wars thing. And actually, I bought my copy of Star Wars Force Awakens last night, so I'm excited to watch it again. But in V for Vendetta, it's kind of like, it's talking about an Orwellian society as we are right now. It's eerily like what we're seeing and where we're going. But there's a scene, the domino scene, talking about how you kind of have this cauldron of terrible things going on politically, socially, economically. And it's just kind of like a powder keg waiting for a match. And once that match goes, you know, everything goes. And I really, truly believe that there's going to be either there's going to be an external event, or there's going to be a mistake. For instance, what if the Fed were dumb enough today to try to say something about how we're thinking about raising interest rates because they just want to prove a point, and we go into another crash like January, February, because they lose control, and this time around they can't come back from it. I mean, there's so many what ifs out there. But what I truly believe, I said it all along, I don't think we can escape this year without something terrible happening.
Yeah, it certainly would appear so. And all of their efforts seem to be failing, and really, it's getting closer to the end. We don't know when the end is going to be, but we do know that it's out there.
And it doesn't, of course, have to be a definitive end. I mean, I'm not saying that there's going to be, you know, one singular event, or we wake up one day. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of theories out there. There's all kinds of beliefs. I mean, yes, we could have, like, for instance, our friend Daniel Amadori, who, you know, he did that video years ago, the day the dollar died, about a chain of events that start one day, and everyone should Google it. It's really, really good. A chain of events that kind of culminate on one day. And it could certainly happen like that. But it may not. It may be a slow burn. It may be a slow, painful burn over several years, but one which nevertheless causes the same end game. It's just a matter of, look, you got to prepare for the worst and hope for the best, because, you know, someone was asking me last night, well, I need silver in case we have to barter. And I said, well, I got a half full glass. I really, truly hope and believe that worst case scenario does not happen, because it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to, but it certainly could, which is why it doesn't hurt to be prepared, because the last thing you want to do is see a worst case scenario. For instance, as they're seeing right now in Venezuela, it doesn't hurt to be prepared for that, because if you're not, you know, it could be the difference between life and death, at least financially, and certainly, and even mortally.
Yeah, amazing what's happening in Venezuela. It was an advanced country, and hey, this is what socialism will get you in the end, right?
You know what? Everyone knows that I was an oil field service analyst from 1995 to 2005. And I was at Salomon from 98 or 99 to 2005. And when I was there, and our job was to cover all these oil companies around the world in our E&P spending survey, you know, we were there when Chavez nationalized the oil industry. And it was not during a crisis. He had just gotten office, I'm guessing 2000, 2001. Can't remember exactly when. But he thought that they could do it better than the international oil companies. And that's exactly when the nation's oil production peaked. It's also when the nation's civilization peaked. So it just shows you, as we go into this communist stage around the world, as happens at the end of all empires, this is where we're headed. And again, you know, I wrote yesterday or 2 days ago an article called The Myth of QE to Infinity, because, you know, people say, well, they can keep the stock market, the bond market up forever. All they have to do is print money. Yeah, but the problem is, as the Bank of Japan is seeing today, and actually, to an extent, we've already seen, and, you know, the Fed owns half of all the mortgage bonds. Now the ECB is seeing, because they're monetizing corporate bonds because they're running out of treasury bonds. You can run out of things to buy. And that's exactly the problem. We just found out yesterday or 2 days ago that the Bank of Japan now is a top 10 holder of 90% of the stocks in Japan, meaning pretty soon they are going to own Japan. And that's even worse than what's going on in Venezuela, because there'll be no more actual business activity. And that's exactly what's going to happen around the world as central banks meddle more and more into stocks. They're going to A, run out of stocks, and B, they're going to find themselves owning the stocks, which is socialism and then communism. And, you know, that's why I do believe these worst case scenarios are a distinct possibility.
Yeah, well, we know what happens with socialism. It happens over and over again. And yet people believe that, hey, if only you could find the right person, the right people, then everything would be fine. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, we've talked about Trump before, about the pros and cons of him. And but it's such a powerful statement of how people have reacted throughout history. You know, the best example, and I'm not comparing him to Hitler, but the best example of people just so desperate and frustrated and angry in history is they all voted, you know, in Adolf Hitler. And of course, he hadn't done what he was going to do yet, but he was clearly a dangerous man and a demagogue. And people were so angry that they just voted for him because he was anti-establishment. And me, who fears, I mean, look, I hate the establishment more than anyone, and I fear what someone like him could do, because he's such a no holds barred kind of person, doesn't seem to care. But when I see stuff like these pathetic little guys like Cruz and Kasich or whatever his name is, and before that Mitt Romney, oh, we're going to stop Trump from getting in office because he's going to ruin America. And it makes me think, you know what? Screw all these people. I'm going to vote for him just to screw your stupid party and get you guys out. I mean, that's how people think. They don't realize that by doing what they're doing right now, they're making people like me convert over, because people are so angry at what's going on. They will vote for anyone to change because they think there's going to be change. And I think that's going to be the story of what's going on around the world in the coming decade.
Yeah, well, we see it. All of the far right parties, nationalist, ultra-nationalist parties in France, in Germany,
Spain. You see that? They're going to have to do the election over again in Spain, just like they just had to do it in Portugal. It's going to be everywhere. People do not want establishment. They want anything else other than establishment. And typically throughout history, that anything else does not make things any better.
Yep, we've seen that. But the one thing you have to say about Trump, he's raising issues that nobody else would raise. And for fear of alienating portions of the electorate, and basically because they just want to keep it secret and not really discuss the issues. So interesting the way that it's heading politically in the U.S. and around the world.
Yeah. Look, and again, I'm not saying I'm pro or con him. I mean, there's good things about him and bad things about him. I'm just saying that, you know, it's one of these, the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. We know what we have in Hillary Clinton. I mean, she is what we've had all along. It's terrible, but it's a no, you know, as what was it? A Rumsfeld would say, it's a known. And Trump is an unknown known. We don't know what the guy's going to do. And particularly, we don't know what he's going to do during bad times, which is what we're going to see. But then again, what would Hillary Clinton do during the bad times? So who really knows anyway? It's not, you know, again, I've said all along, it wouldn't matter if Jesus Christ or Superman became the president. It's not going to change the financial and economic path that the world is on. And unfortunately, with it comes the ramifications politically and socially. You know, we have to assume a worst case scenario and hope for something better.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think we're really just hoping. That's what it's come down to. We have nothing left to grasp onto. We have nothing positive there. So it comes down to hope.
Right. And what's the worst investment strategy in the world? Especially when the trend is against you, hope. You got to take your life into your hands. You take your financial life in your hands. This is your financial life and your family and your and generations beyond that. You have to make decisions today. You have to make decisions that may be contrarian. And it's funny because, you know, I talk about gold. Never before in history has an insurance product, which is exactly what it is, been so cheap when it's been needed most. Can you imagine if you were living in Florida? Or let's say you're living in New Orleans, okay? And you see Katrina coming at you. And all of a sudden, the insurance companies drop their prices to record lows. That's what it's like buying gold and silver today, especially here in the States. Maybe not in Russia, where the price is way below above its all-time highs. But here in the subsidized gold states of America, where the cartel is hanging on for dear life, you can buy gold and silver at prices that are still below the industry's cost of production and way below its cost of long-term sustainability at a time when it's guaranteed that Katrina is going to hit New Orleans.
Yeah. Yep. You see the trajectory of the storm. It's heading straight for it. And interesting what you say, like, it's kind of like Obamacare, where if you're sick and you know you're going to need treatment, you hop into a plan, take it for all it's worth, recover, and then drop the plan. And that's kind of what this is like, too. They're making it available, like you say, right at the precipice of the storm.
And the funny thing is, you know, it's one thing, you know, like I said, when you're in the bear market phase that we were in, you know, the price is going down constantly. So, yes, I understand the herd mentality. We will only buy when the price goes up. We will only we will ignore it until that happens. Because that's what Americans do. That's what all people do. It's certainly what Americans do regarding gold, as opposed to people understand it, like in China and India, who buy more when it goes down. But the fact is, gold's been in a bull market now, and no one wants to acknowledge it. I mean, look, again, I can't emphasize enough. It's not just the record demand and there's no inventories left. Look at the institutional money in there, the mining shares, the ETFs, the closed-end funds, the articles that are out there. I mean, people are starting to talk about gold. It's not like it's full all the time and people should be scared of it. Yes, it gets volatile. Tell us every second, every day fighting it. But we're in a bull market now. So we have the tail, we have the wind at our backs, the fundamentals at our backs, and still people are just not interested yet. And you know when they're going to get interested? When it's surging and it's hard to find. That's just human nature, particularly in the monetized Keynesian Western world.
Yeah, you're so right. That's what happens. It's human nature, though. At least in the West, where people don't buy things, investments, when they're cheap. They buy them when they're going up and starting to get expensive, because then somehow they've gotten the word that it's okay to invest. And that's usually the worst possible time.
And the funny thing is, you know, you look at China. I mean, yes, of course, it's human nature. Look at the Chinese buying into real estate now at record high prices, or then when they're buying the stocks at the high, all these things. But when it comes to precious metals, it's the complete opposite, because unlike all those other asset classes, precious metals are money. Chinese are notorious for creating bubbles. Look what they're doing right now. But in precious metals, the more the price has gone down, the more they have bought, because that's the proof right there that unlike everything else, gold and silver are not speculative assets. They are real money.
Yep. Always have been. And till something else better comes along, always will be. And that's what you need to keep in mind to weather the storm. Anyway, if you want to find out more, go over to milesfranklin.com, subscribe to Andy's daily missive and his frequent audio blogs, and go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Check out what we've got, hundreds of stories on exactly these topics. Andy, hey, we'll see what Bank of Japan does and the rest of them, and we will talk next week.
Looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.